Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
What the progressive saw was an unparalleled opportunity to sow chaos and to push for their vision of essentially, let's cut through the nice language, a culturally Marxist society.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. Grab a stool next to Greg Corumbus of Radio America and Jim Garrity of National Review. Three Martini's coming up.
Happy Friday. Yep, we made it there again. Congratulations to you and to us. Grab a stool. We got a lot to talk about today. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives. And Jim, this doesn't quite amount to an actual martini, but it's tomorrow. A lot of people are looking forward to it. A lot of people have been planning for it for a long, long time. Officially, it's been planned for months now. But of course, tomorrow is the big day. And I have to say, I'm either leaning towards two Phils or Forte in the Kentucky Derby. Now, or just kidding. Talk about the coronation of King Charles III. Yes, yes.
Greg, both of those involve horses' patooties. We'll just let people decide whose is whose. Look, as far as I'm concerned, our forefathers were willing to shoot people in the head so they wouldn't have to care what the British monarchy is doing. And I intend to honor that tradition.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So instead of the king, go with the sport of kings and watch the Derby tomorrow if you want or not. I don't know. Anyway, on to our first martini now. Next year, Jim, is an election year, as we've talked about a lot, 2024. But right now we're not talking about the presidential race. We're talking about the battle for the U.S. Senate. And a lot of these different forecasting firms and sites come out with their lists for, you know, which party's got the advantage, which seats are up, which party can flip the most seats. And while we still don't know how many seats will be flipped, there was only one in the 2022 midterms. And sadly, that one went in the wrong direction in Pennsylvania. But according to Roll Call, they put out their 10 most vulnerable incumbents. And the 7 most vulnerable are Democrats, or basically Democrats, if you put in the asterisk for Kyrsten Sinema, who's technically an independent now. So Joe Manchin, West Virginia, not a big surprise, the most vulnerable now that Governor Justice is in the race. The polls show Justice with a clear lead, assuming he survives the primary, which I think he will. Then Sinema is the second most vulnerable, although the caveat there is, you know, it could be a Democrat that beats her, not a Republican, but we'll see. Number 3, John Tester, Democrat of Montana, running for a fourth term. Same thing with Sherrod Brown in Ohio. I don't know that he's exceedingly less popular, but Ohio's definitely trended more red since his last election. Number 5, Jackie Rosen in Nevada. And all of these are listed as battlegrounds with no real advantage. Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, I think that one is going to be tough. Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin is number 7. And I think it'll all depend on the opponent there. The next 3 are all Republicans, but they're all rated as solid Republican in the forecast. Ted Cruz of Texas, Rick Scott of Florida, and Mitt Romney of Utah. And I would imagine the only reason Mitt's on the list is from within his own party. So, Jim, what do you make of the fact that of all the seats that could flip, Republicans look to be in a pretty good position if they don't screw it up?
Well, those are the magic words there, Greg, if they don't screw it up. I suppose if you're on the right side of the aisle, you might not be super eager to see Manchin and Sinema go. Or if there are 2 Senate Democrats who you could live with sticking around for another 6 years, it would be Manchin and Sinema, because they're the ones who most often break away from their party and allow Republicans to say, well, actually, we have a bipartisan proposal because Manchin and Sinema are with us on this one. As you mentioned, you know, if Manchin loses, it's going to be presumably Jim Justice, but maybe it's Alex Mooney, you know, a Republican replacement. You know, Arizona, a little tougher to say. And I think, you know, trading in Kyrsten Sinema for Ruben Gallego would be a functional defeat for the right. Mm-hmm. That basically we definitely, you know, talk that Carrie Lake was thinking about running does not fill my heart with optimism and joy. But we'll see how things shake out there. You know, again, Arizona is now pretty thoroughly a battleground state, and Republicans just need to do better out there. John Tester, yes, you know, a lot of these guys, you look back, they were in cycles that were relatively, the Democratic wind was at their back, so to speak. John Tester keeps hanging on by the skin of his teeth. And this is a pretty darn red state. As you mentioned about Sherrod Brown, I mean, so 2024, go back to 2018. That was a big year for Democrats. 2012, Obama was at the top of the ticket. I think Obama won Ohio very narrowly in 2012. If not, it was very close. And in 2006, that was the big Iraq war anti-Bush wave. So Sherrod Brown has always had, like, been running in, like, the near best of circumstances. We don't know what the political environment's going to look like in 2024, but it's safe to say whether it's Trump or DeSantis, Ohio is pretty likely to be a Republican state. Biden lost the state by 8 points last time. And that's going to be a tough current running against Sherrod Brown. Not impossible. He does better than most of the Democrats in that state. But you look like his feels like his luck might be running out. Now, the next few, I think you accurately recognize, like, these are states that we know Republicans can be competitive in, but they haven't been competitive in recent cycles. And in fact, they seem to be getting worse. Jackie Rosen in Nevada, Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. Yes, Republicans did win a relatively close Senate race in Wisconsin last time around. But by and large, those are purple states, and you nominate the wrong kind of candidate, somebody who's too much of a nut job, somebody who's too extreme, you end up losing states like that. You need to play it very smart, and, you know, hopefully Republicans, but this does tell you, Republicans, these states are in play. These Senate seats are in play. You have a chance to not just win a majority, but maybe win a fairly considerable majority. And just kind of to close out, if Ted Cruz didn't lose in 2018 against Beto O'Rourke with more money than God and the entire National Press Corps basically operating as press operation, Ted Cruz is in that seat for as long as he wants to stay there. I don't see Rick Scott losing to a Democrat. Pretty clearly, Florida's gotten pretty darn red. Obviously, it was a very close margin in 2018. Safe to say, I think, you know, barring some amazing turn of circumstances, Florida's going to be looking pretty red in this coming cycle. And Romney, I think you accurately said it, that if he loses in a primary, that's how he's not coming back. But Utah is another one of those states where we keep hearing, oh, Democrats are coming back. And then on election day, they do not come back.
No, that's true. I've also heard Romney's got pretty weak fundraising numbers. So there's a chance, I have heard nothing official in this department, but it's possible that Mitt Romney might not run again. The guy is 76 years old, be 77 next year. Might not be interested in another term, but if he does, that could be an interesting inter-party fight. Remember, that's how we got Mike Lee, is because they thought Bob Bennett was getting too squishy back there in 2010, and Lee ended up winning at the convention level. So I think we're pretty much eye to eye on the pickup opportunities here. I think Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin are going to be tough. I think Pennsylvania is going to be tougher than Wisconsin. I think it all depends on the candidates. They mentioned Mike Gallagher, who's running that special China committee. I think he could be a tough candidate there. Tom Tiffany could be tough as well. He's a pretty good congressman from Wisconsin. Casey, if they go with Mastriano, you might as well pack that one in. And so far, they don't have a good candidate in Nevada that has even really been mentioned yet. And we'll see who they come up with in Ohio. In Montana, you know, this should have been done 6 years ago. Ryan Zinke was the lone congressman from Montana. He was a rising star. He was perfectly poised to beat John Tester in 2018, even though it was going to be a difficult year with a Republican president in the midterm. But instead, Trump names him Secretary of the Interior. By the time the midterms roll around, or right around that time, he's out of the job. And the Republicans went with Matt Rosendale, who is, again, a possible candidate, but he fell a few points short. But I think Ryan Zinke could have won that race if he was never in the Trump cabinet, but we'll never really know. Any other thoughts here?
No, just that just have this feeling that we got, you know, nice, very easy pitch right over the plate, and the GOP is not well positioned to swing and hit the ball as hard as it can over the fence.
All right, let's talk about Four Patriots. At fourpatriots.com/martini, you can get the new deluxe 3-month survival food kits, which are back in stock. More than 200,000 smart Americans agree this is survival food that tastes good. And look, you just don't know when disaster or some other inconvenience is going to strike, and you need to cook meals in a very, very simple way. These 3-month food kits give you 688 total servings, or about 8 per day, and they give you about 1,500 calories per day. Great recipes from mac and cheese to pancakes to spaghetti and lasagna. Disaster-resistant packaging, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Also, don't forget about their great deals on the Leafy Greens Hydro Garden Seed Kit, the Four Patriots Bountiful Green Plant Food, the Sauna Wrap Therapeutic Blanket, and the Solar Go Fridge with Solar Panel.
You can stash food away and be confident that when a disaster strikes you and your family, you will be ready. Go to 4patriots.com/martini to get the deluxe 3-month survival food kit and the peace of mind you deserve. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $97. That's the number 4patriots.com/martini. That's 4patriots.com/martini.
All right, Jim, on to our bad martini now. And usually when a scandal or a attempted scandal is unfolding, you go with the drip, drip, drip approach and let each drip kind of marinate. But that's not what the left is doing here in trying to delegitimize the U.S. Supreme Court. They're trying to do it in avalanche mode. And so it started with, oh my gosh, Clarence Thomas takes vacations with a friend who happens to be a billionaire. How horrible. Then John Roberts' wife works to place attorneys at high-powered law firms. If that had been criticized from the right with a spouse of a left-leaning justice, I'm sure there would have been a whole lot of attacks from the left about you don't like women in the workplace or something like that. And now Clarence Thomas and his billionaire friend are being scandalized, or at least trying to be scandalized, for the billionaire helping to pay the tuition at private school for a grandnephew that Clarence Thomas and his wife took in because I believe the grandnephew's parent ended up going to jail. And so they believe there's all sorts of influence peddling here, although I've seen some reports that this billionaire friend, Harlan Crow, has never actually had business before the court. I don't know that that is entirely accurate, or whether he's donated to some places that have been before the court or whatever it is. But if you're wondering what the left is really up to here, leave it to Hillary Clinton's old campaign guy, Brian Fallon, to just be straight up with us here in his tweet. At this point, does anyone think applying a code of ethics to Thomas while letting him remain a justice would suffice? Leonard Leo, who engineered the payoffs of Ginny Thomas, also orchestrated the selection of all three Trump picks. The whole court majority lacks legitimacy. Now, Leonard Leo is affiliated with the Federalist Society. I guess just because Trump was president, they're illegitimate. I don't know what Brian Fallon is trying to say here, but it's pretty obvious what the left is trying to do here, Jim. So what do you make of Brian Fallon opening up the curtain here?
First of all, your assessment of the drip, 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 or, you know, borderline avalanche of this. Yeah, what spurred this sudden interest in the outside income and outside activities of six of the justices with absolutely zero interest in what Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, or Ketanji Brown Jackson have done? You notice nobody really isn't even looking. You don't even hear them mentioned in these articles. By the way, I would prefer, if you're a Supreme Court justice, if you did not take extraordinarily high value gifts from people. I think that if you are one of the nine people who has more power over the, what laws stand and what laws are struck down, then you have an obligation to be purer than Caesar's wife. And you probably should avoid that sort of thing. That said, it does not violate any law. It does not violate any code of ethics. If you want to argue that they should have been disclosed, okay, you can make that argument. They were not required to be disclosed. No one has found or shown that, Clarence Thomas ruled on any decision that had Harlan Crow or any business before the court. And that's always the big thing. It's like, okay, so what did, if all this, these gifts, these vacations, all this kind of stuff, if all of these contacts, which, oh, by the way, it's not like, Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor never interact with liberal lawmakers, liberal lawyers, liberal institutions or something like that. I mean, if you want to say, oh, well, they're meeting with, high level members of the Federalist Society. OK, what do you think, like the American Bar Association, Harvard Law School? What do you think those are? Oh, no, they're nonpartisan. There you go. OK, they're not nonpartisan. They clearly have ideology. They clearly have a philosophy. There's just no different. You don't like the Federalist Society. That's the big difference there. But when he goes there, the whole court majority lacks legitimacy. So, Greg, I remember for several years now that if you questioned election results, you were questioning American democracy itself. That was like the worst thing you could possibly do, right? You're attacking democracy. You're attacking the U.S. government if you dare say, these election results lack legitimacy. Why would Supreme Court justices who were confirmed by majorities to the court, as were laid out during the under the Constitution, why would that lack legitimacy? Brian Fallon is saying the court lacks legitimacy because I don't like its decisions. Those two terms are not synonyms. Illegitimacy does not come from agreeing with you. Legitimacy comes from following the pre-established terms and conditions under the U.S. Constitution. Now, when the Supreme Court handed down Roe versus Wade. A whole bunch of pro-lifers didn't like that decision. A whole bunch of pro-lifers saw that decision as justifying murder. And they may have complained about the court going beyond its role. They may, you know, they argue that, look, you know, the idea that our robed masters, I think Mark Levin had written, and this idea that they were legislating from the bench, right? But they didn't say Roe v. Wade was an illegitimate decision or that the court was no longer legitimate. And they certainly didn't argue that people didn't have to follow the law because they disagreed with it. Fortunately, what, you know, the law was the law. What Brian Fallon is doing here is to make the argument that the judicial branch, because it is now has for the first time in a generation, two generations really, has a usually reliable conservative majority. Right? There are a whole bunch of years where it was four kind of on the right, four kind of on the left, and usually a swing vote. Sometimes it was Sandra Day O'Connor. Sometimes it was Anthony Kennedy. The first time you get a sense of, okay, we kind of know how this court's going to come down on a whole bunch of these decisions when it gets before them. All of a sudden, now it's illegitimate, and that is what this campaign is attempting to do. You know, I was going to say, I'm looking at that tweet, and I'm just kind of looking under, you're saying the Supreme Court is illegitimate? Sounds kind of sedition-y, Brian.
That's exactly right. Well, when he says that the court majority lacks legitimacy, and he mentions all three Trump picks, you know, some say it's the Obama should have a chance to fill the Scalia seat, and they rushed the Amy Coney Barrett because it's so close to the election and so forth. But you could interpret that as saying the Trump picks are illegitimate because Trump didn't really win. I don't know if that's stretching it too far, but, you know, that sounds a little questioning of democracy as well. But
yeah, no, I think that's a very fair argument. And, you know, you can make the argument going back to Bush's picks. Lots of Democrats insisted Bush had not legitimately won the election, contending that there was some secret pile of Al Gore votes they were never allowed to count, that was never verified, that was never proven, they never, you know, came up with any solid evidence for that. And or the Diebold machines were hacked, which was a mainstream Democratic complaint after 2004. But once Trump starts repeating similar crazy conspiracy theories in 2020, well, then it's a threat to democracy and you're committing some, you know, virtual crime just by uttering those words.
Is there a double standard? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Can't believe that. But in case Brian Fallon needs a refresher or any of these other lefties, like the ones in the Senate trying to basically force a bunch of recusals with new ethics rules, here is a flashback to October of 1991. This is right after Anita Hill had come forward at the last second trying to derail the Clarence Thomas nomination. Orrin Hatch of Utah is questioning Clarence Thomas, and Clarence Thomas makes it pretty clear what he thought about giving in then, and I'm pretty sure it's how he thinks about it now.
Some people have been spreading the rumor that perhaps you're going to withdraw. What's Clarence Thomas going to do?
I'd rather die than withdraw. If they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me.
So you'd still like to serve on the Supreme Court?
I'd rather die than withdraw from the process. Not for the purpose of serving on the Supreme Court, but for the purpose of not being driven out of this process. I would not be scared. I don't like bullies. I've never run from bullies. I never cry uncle, and I'm not going to cry uncle today, whether I want to be on the Supreme Court or not.
Jim, I'm not sure it's right up there with death and taxes, but it's pretty close. If you think Clarence Thomas is going anywhere, he's not.
He isn't, although considering how we've seen some wackos outside Supreme Court justices' houses, when he says, I'll die, I think there are a bunch of, you know, crazy lefties who'd say, okay.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. But if you think you're going to intimidate him into getting out, that's never going to happen. But yeah. And while the Senate Democrats try to threaten to reduce security in order to get these recusal and ethics reforms in, very shady, shady way to go. We talked about that earlier in the week as well.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, on to our crazy martini now, Jim. And for that, we head to Nashville, Tennessee. It was late March when a deranged 27-year-old woman entered the Covenant School in Nashville, killing six people, three nine-year-olds, as well as three adults trying to protect the children in the school. It did not take long, just later that day, that we found out some important details about the shooter. But there's a lot more we still don't know, especially the so-called manifesto. However, more than a month after the fact, there is no plan yet to release this manifesto or any of the writings seized from her home. According to Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett, who was speaking to the New York Post, he says the FBI was behind the delay, calls the news disappointing, and calling for documents to be released to grieving loved ones as well as members of Congress. He says the manifesto, quote, could maybe tell us a little bit about what's going on inside of her head. I think that would answer a lot of questions. So what do police have that we haven't seen yet? 20 journals, 5 laptops, a suicide note, and various other notes written by the shooter that were seized from the home that she shared with her parents, as well as 2 memoirs, 5 Covenant School yearbooks, and 7 cell phones. Now, Metro Nashville Councilmember Courtney Johnston confirmed to the Post that the FBI has already ruled the manifesto will not be released anytime soon. Quote, what I was told is her manifesto was a blueprint on total destruction, and it was so, so detailed at the level of what she had planned. That document in the wrong person's hands would be astronomically dangerous. So, Jim, if that is in fact the case, I think it's probably safe to redact very specific attack plans that could potentially motivate the wrong people. But in terms of what was going on inside her head, I don't see any reason why we can't get that out here.
Yeah, I was reading by something by Jonathan Turley, a law professor, who pointed out, look, it's not that rare in a circumstance like this where there's a mass shooting, shooter has a manifesto, for there to be a delay in releasing some of this information. But usually in those cases, there's an ongoing investigation. That really isn't what's going on here. The shooter is dead, right? All the evidence, all the information points to Hale acting alone. There is no... nobody else is getting prosecuted about this. Nobody else is getting, investigated, thrown in jail, something like that. So you can't say, oh, we can't release this because it could louse up some, prematurely releasing the information could louse up some forthcoming prosecution. And there are two, here's where the, as you kind of alluded to and you're in wrapping up the summary there, Greg, you know, if you said some of this stuff is so disturbing, we just don't think anybody in the public needs to see this, or some of this stuff is such a detailed how-to manual to target vulnerable people and kill them, we just don't think there's any value in releasing death to the public. I know that's not a crazy position for the police to take. That's justifiable. What's really getting to us is that they won't disclose anything about the motive. They can't summarize what was in all this information. They can't paraphrase. They can't even give a vague description, right? Now, I think we all have a sneaking suspicion of what's at work here. This was someone who had changed their gender identity, who had attacked a Christian school. And that by itself kind of points us, gives us some hints as to what that, you know, motivation was. Could it be that she had, or this person had a completely different motivation? I suppose it's possible. I don't think that the shooter shot up a Christian school because they were upset about tax rates. I don't think this was an objection to foreign policy. I think this was a characterization of a particular group, and I'm going to guess it's Christians. Maybe it's a particular sect. Maybe it's traditionalists. Maybe it's all cishet, you know, whatever. It was traditionalists, whatever she wants to do. This shooter hated these people. and decided it was time to kill them. It was time to get vengeance. It was time to punish them for being wrong. I don't know, but that would be the sort of thing that would explain why this person took the actions that they did. And instead, this is where, you know, we're just being told, ah, it's a mystery. And it is extraordinarily frustrating because we know that there was a motive. And we know that they have a huge of evidence that all, in all likelihood, spelled out that motive in very explicit detail. And they have decided it's too dangerous. We can't handle that information. Now, I don't know if they were afraid if they do that and it would lead to people getting really angry at trans people, or whether it would lead to people getting really angry at Christians. But whatever it is, you can't say, I think the public is children and I don't trust them with this kind of information. They don't have that authority. They're not allowed to do that. And it is kind of outrageous that this. I'm glad there are lawsuits made to try to get some information about this. If the government is going to say that, you know, the manifesto is astronomically dangerous, well, I mean, you better have good explanation for it. And you got to give at least some information to the public to explain what happened in this heinous shooting.
Yeah, I think your Occam's razor approach is most likely very much spot on here, Jim. But as we have mentioned before, I think even with connection to this story, but others like it, where the authorities are very reluctant or very slow to come forward with more information, if they don't come forward with the information and explanations of why this happened, people will come up with their own. And if that starts to snowball, then you've got bigger problems. And so more information is always better. Anyway, Jim, I think it's time for a weekend. What do you say?
Can't wait, Greg.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You have a good weekend. We'll do this again on Monday. He's Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. Please subscribe to the podcast if you don't already. Get some friends to do it, too. We'd love to have them listening. Thank you also for your 5-star ratings and your kind reviews. Please keep those coming. Follow us both on Twitter. Jim is at Jim Garrity. I'm at @Dateline_DC. Have a terrific weekend and join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.